Hello, strong, feisty women. Some of you may recognize my voice. I'm Celine Yeager, host of the Hit Play Not Pause podcast. Throughout my career as a professional health and fitness writer and now a podcaster, I hear countless questions from women who are trying to understand how their ever-changing hormones impact their sports performance. So we decided to serve up some answers in a brand new series called Hormonal that we will be releasing on the Feisty Women's Performance Podcast feed. Throughout this four-part series, reproductive endocrinologist Dr. Carla DiGirolamo and I will be tackling topics like periods, the pill, pregnancy, and conditions like PCOS, all from the perspective of sports performance. If you aren't already, follow the Feisty Women's Performance Podcast and stay tuned for our first episode releasing on April 15th. Also, have questions you want answered? Send us a voice note at speakpipe.com/hormonal and we'll get it answered on the show.
You're listening to If We Were Writing, a feisty triathlon-ish podcast. I'm Kelly O'Mara, and together with Sarah True, we head up a weekly group ride where we dish on all triathlon news and everything else-ish we want to talk about. We're joined regularly by Khadijah Diggs and Jocelyn Wong-Neal, and Laura Sedol does her Sid Talk segment updating you on everything you need to know from the weekend. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. If We Were Writing is a production of Live Feisty Media. Join us on our group ride.
Yeah. All right, so I asked you all what you've been doing, and Sarah said she went to the dentist, and Jocelyn let me know yesterday was Halloween. So we are leading exciting lives over here.
Listen, in my defense, I love going to the dentist. Especially, so I always, post-season, it's like one of the things I kind of look forward to because I've spent months just eating sugar and all like these nasty things and just, it feels so like refreshing and invigorating to get my teeth clean to be like, okay, I'm good. I'm good right now. Yeah.
Are they chipping off like huge blocks of plaque that you can feel?
Yeah.
And you like it.
Oh, I love it. I don't like the actual process. I like afterwards, like, oh, I'm all good. I'm all good. Yeah.
Wow. So this really was a big week for you.
You know, that's kind of the highlight of my day. Not going to lie.
Yeah. Did you guys, I mean, you all have kids, right? Did you all dress them up in, I feel like half the reason people seem to have kids is to dress them up for Halloween. Did you all do like coordinated costumes?
Okay, so in the past, we did a family costume, I think, like, the last couple of years. And then this year, she was so excited about her Minnie Mouse costume. And then with, like, weeks to go, I show up at daycare pickup. And the teacher's like, oh, yeah, she's been telling us she's going to be Moana. And I was like, uh-oh. Like, when were you going to tell us that you wanted to be Moana? But then she ended up wanting to be a witch.
Makes sense.
And also Elsa. And so there were multiple Halloween themed events throughout the month where she had different costumes.
This is very, what's the word I'm looking for? Involved? This is like high touch Halloweening. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was told that this is like normal to like expect them to change their mind at the last minute.
This is why you decide for them.
Right.
Changing their mind, but not changing their clothes three times in one day.
Yeah. It's when they become more self-aware and they start refusing to wear certain things.
We had, I don't know, we have a lot of like 14-year-olds kind of in our neighborhood, our new neighborhood. And so these two girls show up at our door just like in like white fairy type costumes. And I'm like, okay, whatever. Right. They take candy. And then we like walked into the barbecue place to get barbecue. And there's like more girls in like white fairy. And I thought they were the same girls, but then it turns out like all of the 14-year-old girls dressed in these like white fairy tutu and Converse sneakers. And so apparently there was a memo. I don't know.
Ooh. Yeah. I thought maybe it was a group costume.
It was just like, but they weren't like together, right? They were just like multiple groups of 14-year-olds wandering the neighborhood in the
it's
same
like a clothes. Beta breaker centipede.
Well, they have to be careful because I read that there are towns that are now banning teenagers from trick-or-treating.
Yeah, see, but that feels really mean. Like, I was like, I did see some older kids who were definitely like very intense, expensive e-bikes that look kind of like motorcycles are a thing around here. And so like the 15-year-olds obviously like ride them in packs and all that. So I could see how some cranky old adults would feel But it feels like just let them do what they're going to do. It's fine.
Yeah. Well, if you bother to wear a costume,
then it's fine.
And if you don't wear a costume and you come to my door, I'm still going to. Okay. To be fair, we got zero
oh, wow. trick-or-treaters.
So it's easy for me to like candy for everyone.
Large bags for everyone who shows up. Well, we don't. In Atlanta, they have events. Like they had something at, there's a couple of parks near my house and the county sponsors these events. So most of the kids go to those. And my daughter had a, she had a flag football game anyway.
Of course she did. Yeah, she's going to be in the Olympics.
Uh-huh. 2028.
That's why I'm not saying anything about it, because if I say that she should, that will mm-hmm. clearly be something that she won't want to do. So I'm going to leave that alone.
It has to be her idea.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Right. Yeah. But there were no sports themed costumes, I feel like. This is what I was going for, guys. I was like, did you have like a really cool, really intelligent, super clever?
I mean, I feel like there was a lot of Taylor Swift with Travis Kelce.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah, I can see that.
That's sports adjacent, right?
Mine was not sports themed. We were from the Where the Wild Things Are. I made a little Max costume, and I was one of the monsters. You know,
it's adorable. Standard.
He had no option. Yeah. I decided for him. That's going to be the way it's going to be for the next 12 years.
Makes sense.
Maybe you just have a more like compliant child than I do. Mine is very opinionated.
Oh man. All right. So today we'll move on from Dennis and Halloween. We're going to talk about fastest age grouper in the world. What does that even mean? The whole UTMB trail running controversy, because we got to do our weekly Jocelyn Explains Controversies to Sarah segment. And then everyone's going to tell me how I get through this like 5 hours in the freezing rain this weekend after this break. All right, you guys, I am doing a lot of like off-season content for Feisty and for like other outlets. And so I've been doing a lot of like what you should do this winter. And I want to know if you guys are doing anything like, are you planning your season? Are you evaluating your goals? Are you like getting out in the snow? You know, no big wild winter plans.
I treat myself, but that's it.
You
treat yourself. What does that mean?
I do something in my workout space. Like last year I painted. I don't know what I'm going to do this year. So I treat myself to make sure that my space is comfortable and enjoyable, and
your pain cave.
I have one more race to go. Yeah, I don't call it a pain cave, I call it my dream cave. But it's, you know, I do something to make it more to my liking every year. Treat myself to one thing.
That's how I feel about the dentist. I was treating myself today.
I said we were moving on from the dentist, Sarah.
Khadija, I thought you said you hung up Iron Man flags so that you wouldn't have to paint.
Yeah, I do. I changed the color of my room, and then everywhere where I messed up, I just hung a flag
over
it. I have to take pictures. I'm going to take pictures and I'm going to send you the pictures. But then the one flag, Iron Man Maryland, the year I did it, they didn't have flags. So I hung the shirt up in place of that flag.
So this year, is your what a thing going to be new posters and decorations for the walls?
I think I'm going to finish the base molding, because I got 90% done and then I just said, screw it. I just forgot about the bottom part.
Yeah. Or do you ever upgrade your equipment? Like now Wahoo has that, the one that moves.
Yeah, I'm not trying to do all that. I'm good with what I have. Like 1 year I bought a new treadmill because I basically run the motor out of one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a pretty nice weight set. 1 year I had some my Achilles. So I got an elliptical because I couldn't run as much. So I used the elliptical. I treated myself to that.
Usually I sit on my ass all winter and then some, but this year I am like training for Nice, so I'm eating more croissants is what I have started doing.
Not beet juice, croissants. Yeah.
I did run at your cartoon croissant t-shirt idea by Feisty's graphic design artistic director. Uh-huh. And she says she could make that. She like can see that.
Yes. And it'll have like NQ24, like as a total mockery of the Tracksmith shirt.
Solid. Yeah. No, I haven't run that part by her yet. So.
Oh, okay. Okay.
You are focused.
Because this is the exclusive. If you qualify for Nice shirt.
All I know is I totally would be psyched to wear a t-shirt with a running croissant on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sign me up for one. Absolutely. Okay.
These are our winter plans. We are redoing our dream caves, making t-shirts.
I already went to the dentist, so I'm done.
Yeah. I mean, this is great stuff, guys. This is the exact same as evaluating your season.
I mean, I'll probably do some Nordic skiing once we have snow. I hate this time of year because, like, I'll take a couple weeks totally off, no exercise. My mood really changes.
Mm-hmm.
As you can tell, like, I'm low energy right now. I'm not feeling my best self. It's just, meh. I'm in the doldrums. And, like, I need a little exercise to regulate a bit. So I'm looking forward to moving again. Yeah.
Wait, have you done nothing then since Kona?
A few little runs. That's it. Yeah.
I think the days getting shorter really affects me.
That's what I hate. Yeah,
It's because I remember growing up. I mean, it was like 3 o'clock. I'm getting off the train from school and it's already dark. I'm like,
it's the double whammy for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you going to do the thing then? Like, you know, people do like 2 or 3 weeks off and then they'll do like 2 or 3 weeks of just like whatever they feel like doing.
That's what I do. I do a couple of weeks. I don't stop because I'll lose my mind if I do nothing. So I'd say an hour a day of whatever I want to do, absolutely no structure.
I did actually join the Y again, so I have access to the pool more, which has been kind of one of my excuses to not swim for a while.
I'm budget trimming, and so I have moved from my nice ass pool to the Y, which I'm like, oh god, this is terrible, but that's my I'm gonna make it work, guys. It's gonna be great. It's like half the cost, so I can't.
Mm.
I know I can like argue with old men for $80 a month. It's fine.
Yeah, the water in that pool is pretty warm.
Yeah, the Y is like tough to get actual workouts in.
But you know what? I learned when training in Asia from like my Japanese teammates, they have these mesh swim caps. So I found them on Amazon, and that's what I wear when I have to swim. They're mesh. Actually, like, a lot of people on Amazon buy these mesh swim caps to turn them into wigs, because I was reading all the reviews. It's just very random.
Okay. All right.
That's my tip for swimming in a hot pool, is the mesh swim caps.
All right. I got nothing else that sounds I will get on Amazon and buy one of those.
Make it into a wig.
I don't know.
You would put pieces of hair through the little holes. They're using it as like a net. Yeah.
You weave the hair through the mesh swim cap, and that's what then holds it onto your head with your fake hair.
Oh, Sarah, you have truly never been to Atlanta, have you? Oh, you need a whole education on fake hair, fake eyebrows, fake nails, the whole nine.
But I'm just imagining a swim cap.
No, but it's like
not like super close to your scalp.
So no, like it's tight.
What I'm imagining does not look good in my head. Like real wigs look good, and this does not look good in my head.
No, it's super tight on your head. It is super tight on your head. Okay. But and they run small too. So I think I really needed an extra large, and I got a large, and it's like too tight. But
okay, you know I two things are it? True. One, I have no idea how you make a swim cap into a wig. And I also need to go to Atlanta to get an education on
We need to get Sarah a lace front. That's what we're gonna do.
Yeah.
We're getting Sarah a lace front wig. Yes. Yeah. We're going to take you to down Atlanta to get your eyebrows done, the whole nine.
That's what I'm doing in the off season. There you go.
Yeah. Problem solved.
We now have off season plans.
All right. Well, before we get to that, we are going to talk about the last race of the year. We have a Sid Talks, and she's going to give us a little preview of the last race of the year, and then we will come back to talk about the fastest age grouper in the world. All right, Sid, season's not over yet, even though it feels like it should be.
I know. I think everyone's in that bit of like fatigue. Well, I have no time. No, you see, I can't even speak. I need more coffee or a beer. I'm not even sure what day it is. I've just got back to Boulder from Kona and Europe. But I think everyone's in a bit like, it feels like it's over because we've had Kona, but then there's like a big race. There's Florida this coming up this weekend. There was Portugal. There's Noosa Tri. There's like still those event. I've got an event in December. So I'm like, yeah, prepping for that. So yeah, we're still just dragging on there forever.
I know. It feels like it's just, it's been such a packed season is why it feels like it's just going on forever. But there is Ironman in Florida this weekend.
No, I think with like the big races that we've had this year and the qualifying for Olympics and then the world champs in started in September and it's still ongoing. It's been, yeah, it's been a long haul.
The world champs started like a year ago. They never ended. Yeah.
Yeah, true.
But there's one, or not one big race, but there's a big race this weekend, Ironman Florida. And it always has like a big start list, kind of same way like Cozumel does or Arizona does because of being after everything, like people who had bad days in Kona. But it also has a big start list this year because a lot of people who were going to do Israel obviously transferred over.
Yes.
Yes.
And I don't think they necessarily bumped up. I think they then split the squats. I can't, you see, it can't speak. Split the slots, the qualifying slots between like Florida, maybe Cozumel, another race maybe. So with the number of people that have come across from Israel, but it sort of hasn't been reflected maybe in a huge increase in slots.
They also moved some of those slots to Portugal because some people also went and did Portugal last weekend. Instead of Israel. But yeah, Florida has, I mean, it's not like, obviously it has the whole thing where there's like 94 athletes on the start list or something like that. But of course, like a bunch of them won't start. It is what it is. There are a few big names. I mean, we have like Magnus Ditlev, Rudy Von Berg. Those are big names.
Yep. Dennis Chevreau.
Yeah.
Matthew Marquardt.
Dr. Matt, as my mom says.
Yeah. And another, a Professor Matt as well, Matt Hansen.
There you go.
Cam Worth is down. So yeah, there's a few exciting names on the men's side.
And then, I mean, women's side. So you told me, because you never know who's actually starting these late season races because people pull themselves off. But you said Sky Munch, Jocelyn McCauley, Alice Alberts, they're all starting for sure.
I don't know about Alice. I'm assuming so because she didn't race Kona and she said that she wants to get more experience racing. I know that Sky is, I've seen that on her socials. I'm pretty sure they put Ironman, mind you, that doesn't necessarily mean they're racing. Jocelyn was included in an Ironman promo, I think I saw.
Well, Jocelyn supposedly has shingles like 2 days before Kona. So I don't know, not supposedly, she like told me extensively about this. So I don't know if she like needed to recover from shingles.
Still came 10th.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lauren Brandon's definitely doing Florida.
Lauren is definitely doing Florida. So is India Lee. So India Lee didn't race Kona, but was out there as if she was racing. She was training partner with Ruth Astle and I think, and Kat Matthews mainly Ruth for the lead up to Kona. And she has done a full before because she did Israel last year.
Oh, really? I thought this was her debut, but no. She did say she thought she just like kept it too under control in her debut. So now she's ready to like push it.
Unleash. And I think, you know, her training with Ruth and Kat a lot and then being out in Kona. And I just think she's a super exciting athlete excited to see how she goes. It does feel a bit like it's her debut, even though she did do. Yeah.
She also, for Ruth's YouTube in Kona, they were quizzing people and they asked me, because they were quizzing Americans, right? How tall is Ruth in millimeters? Oh, and I couldn't remember though if millimeters is 100, like how many millimeters are in a meter, 100 or 1,000? That was where I got stuck.
1,000 millimeters. I heard this and it wasn't from you as well, because I heard then some of the answers that people were coming out with. And I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah, no, mine, I was pretty on. I was just like, it's either 150 or 1500.
Yeah, I was going to say that's pretty close. I would say it was 1500. I reckon she, yeah, about that. And then I think I said, like, compared to the size of her calf, how tall is Ruth compared to her calves? Because she's got these are the amazing, impressive calves. I love them.
Important triathlon conversations.
Exactly, so. Exactly. Yeah. So yeah, I think that's a super exciting kind of to see how Sky and Jocelyn and India and Jenna Nett, I think, well, she's down as well. And then you also just don't know from those athletes that didn't race Kona, what they can bring to the table as well. Oh, Rachel Zelinkas is on the start list as well.
Like first out of the water, probably. I mean, I remember doing races late in the season, kind of after everyone else's year was over, thinking like, oh, I'll aim my whole year that way. I'll structure it and I'll be fresh when everyone else is tired. And somehow you're still just kind of like, no, I would rather be drinking right now.
Yeah, drinking. Now, that's a good segue, because the other big race this weekend is the Noosa Triathlon Festival. which is kind of like, I think it's 40 years.
It is the celebration, 40th this year.
And it's a whole week-long festival. I think it's one of the largest in the Southern Hemisphere, probably in the world. So many events of like kids runs, ocean swims. Then the Olympic distance triathlon takes place, and it's a non-drafting. It will be, what did we say? This is Ashley Gentle going for her 10th.
Ashley Gentle, I just thought she wins this year and it will be her 10th title. She'll have won a quarter of the times that race has existed.
That's mental.
That's insane. Yeah.
That's insane. But I think, interesting enough, so it always gets a few of those, you know, the Aussie-based athletes there, and it's Olympic distance non-drafting. I saw that Amelia Watkinson is going, but then she's been sick as well. Mm-hmm. I think Sarah Crowley might be there. Don't know if she's racing. She's certainly doing like promotion, like sponsor stuff. Fenella Langridge is there. So that's kind of interesting. I don't
after she got engaged.
After she got engaged.
Details,
exactly.
Details.
Exactly. Yeah. So we had two. So out of going back to Kona, two wedding proposals out of the pro women. Yeah. So Alex Watts.
Alex had the finish line
on the finish line. Yes. And then obviously I think Fenella was a couple of days later or the day later.
I will tell you, I heard that a guy was going to propose to one of the pro women earlier in the week because he had like come into the media room. I didn't know it was Alex. So someone had just told me this and I was like, okay. And then I only found out later who it was. And I was like, oh. Well, wow, oh, I don't think funny. I would be able to keep that secret. So.
Yeah, it's a good job you didn't find out. I mean, I think Ashley would still win out of that. I haven't seen what short course athletes are racing on the start list, if there's any
VIT.
You have
to assume Ash can win, yeah.
I think Fenella and Amelia might give a good fight, but if you look at what Ash has been doing over the PTO distance and...
This is her thing.
It's her race. She kind of just dictates it. But maybe over the shorter distance might be interesting. Like she's got the 40K to, if Fenella has a great swim, Fenella, you know, over 40K, maybe she'll be ahead of Ash off the bike, but Ash knows this race by the
back. You got to assume she's got it. Which brings us to who has
the men's,
been your...
sorry, the men's side, Hayden Wilde is there.
Oh, is he? Oh, okay.
From the men's. Yeah.
Oh yeah. I was like, I'm more interested in Ashley winning her 10th one. But that brings us to who has been your most impressive post Kona result so far?
Post Kona?
Yeah, like since Kona. Oh. There's been quite a few races here.
Winning Segrail.
You were winning Segrail. That's been your most impressive. Okay.
Having two beers at the top. No, because I got into too much shit for winning, I say in quotation marks. I mean, there's not been a huge number of races, and I'm not really with it, but I think, you know, we did have Ironman Portugal. Yeah. Which was a lot of athletes on debut and some pretty fast times. So Marjolais, okay, I will say her Marjolais win because she runs a marathon with her hair loose.
Yes, that was crazy.
Like, how the fuck?
How is
that not just a massive knot at the end? And I know this is conversation that you wouldn't have this on the men's side of things. No,
well, it's only because they don't have.
Well, actually, some of them do, but I'm just like, how do you do that? Like, it would just be a mess. Yeah. Anyway, I thought hers was impressive because she hadn't done. She did win long course worlds, but she hadn't done a full distance. So yeah, I think she's got a pretty impressive. interesting future, good future, bright future.
Bright future. Obviously, we talked about Gwen last week and her World Cup win, which obviously sets her up well for the final qualifying, auto qualifying race for the US in the spring. The other Ironman performance everyone's talking about is the age group world record. They got set at California. Yes. And as a, since I was considering doing Ironman California before my concussion this year, so it's a downriver swim. And Dan Plews, who's like a big coach, swam 36 minutes.
Yep.
And for comparison, like a friend of mine swam 40 minutes. Like, it's quite fast. Like,
it's pretty fast. That is really, fast. Isn't it? Like, so at which point can you consider that in the record? Like, we go back to like this fair. Whole conversation of like, it was, what was it? Cozumel a few years ago with the, Christian Gustav, one of the two. And
Christian,
then Texas with the bike course I mean, it is all arbitrary on what we call records or not, but it did seem pretty
I think it's also super arbitrary to have age group records in all fairness, unless you're like, I think it's totally fair to have like age group, like old ages and young ages, like fastest over 50, like fastest masters marathon. Absolutely. But the fastest like 30-year-old marathon is just the fastest, right? Like the fastest at like under the masters is just, you know what I mean? Like runners don't have like another category for the fastest 28-year-old who isn't a pro. Like that's not a thing, right? Like that's not a thing.
And he's kind of a, I mean, I like Dan Plews a lot. He coaches Chelsea and Javier. Chelsea's performance last year at Kona was obviously very similar to Dan's previous performances. He knows the formula. But he is, you know, he has that opportunity to train a lot as well. He's training with them. So, I mean, but he's an impressive athlete as well.
Yeah. I mean, he's a good athlete.
He's a good
athlete. But the whole notion of like age group records is sort of arbitrary. So, that'll be my new goal. That'll be my new, I'm going to go do a downriver fastest 39-year-old who isn't racing
pro.
Plus downriver.
Plus tailwind, plus...
Exactly. That's my goal for next year.
So. The other slight tangent, because we're going to finish this and make this short. Race Ranger is being used at Ironman Florida.
Florida. Oh, okay.
Yes.
I knew they had done it at Ironman New Zealand. I knew that.
Yeah, no. So Challenge Roth announced it for next year, but then I saw a post saying Race Ranger is for Ironman Florida, which is really interesting because Ironman said that they weren't going to use it for about 4 years.
Ironman told me they were willing to test it. I mean, they tested it in New Zealand. They just don't, I mean, and I get this, like, and Dylan will also tell you, like, the technology is still being piloted, right? So Ironman doesn't want to, like, commit to, we're going to...
But I think you just put it in races and test it. That's all people want.
That's, like,
want.
Fine, right?
Yeah. So anyway, it was interesting because they said the same. They were like, oh, it needs more testing, which is fine. That's a fair point. But then, like, come back and say, anyway, it's all good. Good for the sport.
Good for them.
Good for them. Good for athletes. More racing.
More racing.
Not over yet. Halloween.
All right.
America just scares the shit out of me because everyone... Mind you, actually, I've noticed like people in the UK are going pretty full on with Halloween costumes now as well.
I read something today about people spent like $600 million on pet costumes this year or something like that.
Pet costumes, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. I have to go put my cat's pet costume on and hand out candy. So we'll call it for right now.
I'm in an apartment block. No one's going to be coming up to my apartment. I'm just going to eat all the candy myself.
All right. Anyway. Well, we'll talk next week and see how that went for you. So
yes. Thanks, Kelly.
Bye-bye. All right. So I have to look up his time, but there was a world age group world record set at Ironman California. And I want to say it was like 7:58, 56 or something like that. Because in all fairness, okay, so like he swam 36 minutes. It's a downriver swim in California. Yeah. And it was set by Dan Plews, who is like Chelsea Sodaro's coach, Javier Gomez's coach. He used to race like pro elite, but he like had a kid and stopped. So the point here is obviously he has resources, time, and a built like talent. So how do we feel about having an age group world record?
It's kind of BS.
I mean, that's a lot of age groupers. I mean, they're all age groupers aren't created equal. And it's simple as that. I mean, just because he has the time doesn't negate that he's an age grouper. There's age groupers who can afford better bikes, coaching, they don't work, or they work part-time. They have more time. They have more resources.
But it's like, where do you draw the line? Because any one of the pros that can go faster than that could like not have stepped up and gotten their pro card.
That's what I have an issue with, right? Is it's like, I don't care. Like, be whoever you want to be, do whatever you want to do on your pros. But having a world record for like, and he's like 40 or something, right? So he's not like, it's like the fastest 50-year-old in the world is the fastest 50-year-old. It's not like we're like, oh, the fastest 50-year-old who has a job. You know what I mean? Like, you don't like caveat it. It's like Des Linden set the Masters American record. That's the Masters American record. It's not like, it's not like the Masters American record of people who have kids, right? Like, it's not like, there is no, you don't like make these other.
And there are, there's pros that have jobs and kids and go to grad school. We have one on our podcast right here.
Exactly. I mean, so I have the world record for Black women who live on my street.
Exactly.
I know. Hey, this went.
How many triathletes are on your street?
That sounds like it felt like Sarah was going to say something.
Them all.
Listen, why can't you just have the world record for your street? Which is even more impressive.
Sure. Exactly. I mean, that's fine. Yeah. Right? Like, I don't care if you want to be the local legend of Strava, you know, but I just find, like the actual, like when people get really obsessed about it, particularly weird. Yeah.
So I guess I have a hard time with the fixation on time for Ironman.
Well, sure. That too. Yeah.
Because just courses and conditions are so variable. And I get it. There's something that's like very rewarding about going like sub 12 or whatever. You have set these benchmarks for yourself. But it's just, it's not like, you know, the track or a pool where it's very standardized, and especially for how long it is. I don't know. So part of me is like, whether we're talking about, you know, age group or pro, just the idea of time for Ironman, I think we're a little too fixated on it in general.
Okay. So that's the part that you think is weird. I think the age group part is weird.
I have no opinion about the, you know, age group part.
The age like, group pro line. I have lots of opinions.
Yeah, Jocelyn, give it.
Tell us your opinions.
Okay, so not going to name names, but in
By all means.
Okay. I mean, I'll say a few things and you'll know who I'm talking about.
Yeah, but before you name names, Kona is the place for professional age groupers. Like, that is what Kona is.
True.
Like, let's be, there's not like one person who's guilty of this.
True. It
is the construct.
Right? True. So. Okay. My issue is that this one person who may or may not be in my age group supposedly got the Masters win. I'm 40 to 44. So
is Masters in triathlon 40 or is it 45? I guess we don't really have Masters, do we?
We don't have Masters. So there some local races where there's a Masters podium and it is 40 plus. But here's my thing. If you're going to call someone, and it wasn't an official thing, it was like a photographer called her this.
Yeah, I think it's a made up thing. Yeah.
It's a totally, there's no such thing as the overall Masters winner at Ironman, because you know who would have won overall Masters? Anne Haug.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
You got second place overall.
Wow, she's 40.
She's 40.
Yeah.
You know who else is in their 40s that was faster than this overall Masters winner? Was our very own Sarah True, Michelle Vesterby, our very own Laura Siddall.
Right.
All in their 40s. So you can't say that this person was the overall Masters winner at Kona.
I need to go back to Annie Haug running people down like that at 40.
Wait a second.
Oh, wow. That's heat. That's straight heat. Wow.
This is why, like, I feel like there should be, and obviously triathlon's not going to like change their entire categorization structure because I think so, but I feel like there should be Masters, seniors, super seniors, veterans, juniors, sure. But then that like the open race, like it's just the open race. Like if you're the best 28-year-old, then you're the best 28-year-old. And though you're probably like, you know, like when I go to a marathon and I like am in my 30s, I get beat by like all the pros. Like that's, but I don't like, I'm not like, oh, well, I'm a terrible person. Right? Like it's like personal self-says. Like I feel like we're too hung up on the 30. Like I just don't even think the age group should be a thing in the like main age groups. I think it should just be either race pro or race regular. Like, you know, like I just, whatever. I'm not saying that well. I've said it a lot better other times, but you understand what I'm saying.
Secretly.
I understand what you're talking about. Yeah. Uh-huh, Kelly. I know exactly.
I basically don't think there should be like age group world champions for the open ages, like the 20 to 40.
Yeah, it should just be by age group. Yeah. Simple as that.
Yeah.
And, you know, whatever the age grouping is, 5 years, 10 years, or whatever.
Because basically you're saying you're the best of the athletes who could race pro but chose not to. And often that's because they're getting a lot of attention or sponsorships, or I mean, they may have all their other own reasons too.
It's because they don't want to put their big girl panties on.
Sometimes it's because of that. Like there's all like, but the system disincentivizes them from stepping up and coming in like fourth from last in the pro field. Right. Like, and so then it just sort of like, it's kind of shitty. And now I've said this and obviously like I am now racing age group because I haven't raced pro in like years.
It's okay. So, I'm in the same boat as you. Yeah,
like, I also saw some people basically complaining about like former pros beating them who are like 56. Right. And I'm like, dude, if you're 56, like what the fuck do you want them to do? Like, they're not going to race in the pro field at like 56. Like,
yeah. I mean, we can't all be Melanie McQuaid, but we can aspire to be.
Right. So yeah. So if McKaylee Jones beats you, I feel like you should just be, that's cool. I lost to like an Olympic medalist, and not like be like hostile about it. Yeah.
But she's amazing. And she's so nice.
Yeah. So those are my feelings. Jocelyn, do you have any more feelings? I feel like you had more feelings on this.
It's mostly the same rant. The people that don't step up but should.
Right.
How can a down river swim though count as a record? I mean
that happened
literally. You could just go streamline and do that thing under an hour.
Yeah.
Everyone did it under an hour.
Yeah, everybody.
Yeah, it shouldn't count.
They, and to Sarah's point, they really add, like, I saw a registration opening because it's like our local one, and they're like, personal best, like, sign up for next year. And you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah. That makes me like so mad because I like worked so hard to try to break an hour in the swim, and I like got to 102, and that was my closest. And I have a good friend who's like a slower swimmer than me, had a panic attack, had a bad swim, still went under an hour there.
Steve and I went to Ironman Louisville 1 year, and it was non-wetsuit for the pros and wetsuit for him. And he, I think I swam like 59 flat and he swam like 58.40. So he, to this day, goes as the faster swimmer in the family. And he's not at all, just to be, I just feel like people need to know that. Yeah. So, all right, we're gonna take another ad break, and then Jocelyn's gonna explain the UTMB Ironman trail running Whistler controversy.
Iron Women is excited to announce a new partnership with Bicycle, the largest global marketplace for pre-owned bikes. With more than 20,000 pre-owned and refurbished road, gravel, mountain, and triathlon bikes available, Bicycle connects buyers and sellers on a global scale and makes the process of buying and selling bikes safe, easy, and convenient for riders. We all know there are plenty of marketplaces and classified sites out there, but what sets Bicycle apart is their guaranteed buyer protection, secure payments, simple shipping, and first-class customer service. Additionally, when you sell a bike, Bicycle provides a bike box directly to your door and coordinates pickup at a time that works best for your schedule. That kind of service has me swayed, and I'm cleaning up one of my old race bikes to sell on Bicycle right now. For a limited time, you can save up to $100 on your purchase at Bicycle by entering the code FEISTYTRY, all caps and one word, at checkout. That's code FEISTYTRY at Bicycle.com. BUYCYCLE.com.
Chasing Epic is the essence of the Orca brand. It's about seeking moments in life that make us feel truly alive and connected to the beauty of the world around us. And let's be honest, with a lot of swim, bike, and run, we get to see a lot of beauty. Orca's been a longtime partner of Feisty, and we work with them year after year because we love their products and their commitment to creating amazing wetsuits made for women. I absolutely love my Orca wetsuit. Apex is number one, but there's a range of triathlon wetsuits. You can choose between flexibility,
buoyancy, or a combination of both. Really, there's a wetsuit for every triathlete and for all of your epic adventures. As a Feisty listener, you can get 15% off with the code IRONWOMEN15 at orca.com. Get out there and chase some epic, friends.
Jocelyn, I know, you know, we're getting older and aging, and you've been using Aminocoast Heal as part of your like post-workout recovery, right?
Yeah, it seems like after I became a mom and then turned 40, my recovering abilities really tanked. So as you remember, I then tore my meniscus, had to get surgery in my knee, and now I've had this lingering ligament injury in my foot. So I've been adding a scoop of the chocolate flavored Heal to like either a glass of chocolate milk or a recovery smoothie. And I love that it helps accelerate muscle repair and reduce inflammation so I can keep training and racing hard in my 40s.
Yeah. And so you use the Aminoco Heal chocolate. How do you like it? How's it taste?
It tastes pretty good. I mix it up with a bunch of stuff. So it's like, tastes like a chocolate shake.
And all Aminoco products are 100% science backed. It's, you know, Feisty's go-to essential amino acids. And you can get 30% off with the code WRITING, as in if we were writing, at aminoco.com/writing. You'll also get a free gift for new purchasers. That's Aminoco, aminoco.com/writing, and use the code WRITING at checkout for 30% off and a free gift.
Take it away.
Okay, Sarah. So
this is for Sarah. Yeah. Sarah.
It's for Sarah.
I'm not the only one, I would like to point out, of the four of us who doesn't know what this controversy is.
And Khadija.
I don't.
Thank
either.
You.
Sarah and Khadija, are you
I
familiar?
I just feel like I should hum like soap opera music behind it, though. I'm
really have Carrie add something.
Yeah.
So are you familiar with how Ironman has this reputation of like hosting like a competing event in a local area like the same time as an established smaller local event, and then everyone goes to the Ironman event and then the other local race dies?
Yes.
What?
So apparently this is happening like in the trail running world in Whistler, Canada. I guess there was a very like this great local race that everybody loved, and then last year they couldn't get permits,
so it didn't happen this year because Vail Resorts took over the ski resort where it was, and you know, Vail is like a big company, they just whatever, we're difficult to work with.
Yeah, so now Ironman, which has bought part of UTMB.
Yeah, I would like to legally say they do not own UTMB. Every time I write that, like somebody wants
they
to.
They have like
a share of it. Share stake, yeah.
Yeah, so they're now putting a race on like around that same weekend in the same area. And it's very, as the kids say, sus.
So this was announced on Friday to her point, or Thursday, like Ironman was like, welcome to our new race, or not Ironman, sorry, UTMB, which is like partnered with Ironman now, UTMB announced this, and the trail running community like lost it. They went crazy.
Really? So it's not that this event has happened and it killed off the other event. It's just the pure announcement was enough.
It was the optics. I think like the like then I okay. saw a lot of like paranoid conspiracy that was like Iron Man like colluded with Vail to drive out like to prevent that race, and now they're coming in and stealing it, which like I don't actually think that happened, right? Because that would like I don't know how that would happen, right? Like I don't know how like the steps there, you know what I mean?
So they think they're like in cahoots,
right? Which like I don't think that happened. I think what happened is like a big company took over a ski resort, was hard to work with, another company then came in with more money and resources and was like, we'll pay to get all the permits, right? Like,
here's more money.
Right. Like, I think that's just like how that works. And so they saw like this hole where there used to be a local race on this weekend. And now they're like, well, if that's not happening, we're going to put a race on that weekend.
Where you can get stones.
Right. UTMB stones.
Which is a fairly new thing, right? The stones.
Well, they always, yeah, but like I think calling them stones is new. I don't know.
Okay.
It does well, make what it is, seem okay, more exciting. I don't know anything
it's about a lottery stones. Ticket. It's just a lottery into the okay. UTMB lottery, but they have to call them stones because I don't know.
To make it sound okay. special. Yeah. More enticing.
So you a said lot that, of, I was guess, like, okay, where's Jocelyn going here?
With this? Right, okay, right.
The
right.
stones. Okay. So there's pro, like a lot of the pro ultra runners are like, let's not let them do this. We're boycotting this race. Spread the word. We're boycotting. And it's very like, oh, bless your heart.
Bless. Good luck with that.
There's like a mix of like, at least one race director has ended their, so you have to have like UTMB, I don't know what the word is, like certification to be a qualifying race to get your, right? And so like local race, kind of like, you remember when it used to be local race directors had to be like certified to have Kona slots? Like, kind of like that. So at least like a couple race directors have been like, I'm ending my UTMB certification because like they're too commercial, they're ruining their sport. That, like, and this is, so this was kind of like, I think this was just like the straw, right? Like this just like, because the trail running community was already like freaking out about, and I've had this said directly to me, about it becoming too triathlon.
What does that mean?
That like, you know, it's just going to be like too about the money and the expensive gear.
I think like they mean too the much soul. Like Iron Man. Like, gonna, like not the whole sport.
No, they mostly don't like triathletes either. I one time told trail runners, somebody, because I used to obviously work with them. I said that trail running was just like the new triathlon. Oh my God. It was like I had like offended her child. Like,
wow, do we have that bad of a reputation?
So, yeah. I had somebody at a swim event say they couldn't believe that I was a triathlete. Because I'm
bad.
If you see me even at a triathlon, I'm like super low key. I just want to like hang out.
Oh, it's
and I was at a swim event. And they were
you're not a dick and you're not anal-retentive.
Yeah, they I'm were, not they swimming were like, over people or knocking over people on the bike.
I thought they were doing because I've had this where they go, "You do triathlons," and you're like, "What? Like I'm capable?" Like,
yeah, I've gotten that too, but for other reasons.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Or I always get I thought you were bigger people meet me
yeah, I get that too
yeah.
Oh I get the I thought you were a lot shorter because I'm Asian. It doesn't get yeah. cute.
So I didn't realize how tall you were. I saw you a picture of you with two other women and I was like, wow, she's really tall.
This is right up there with Dennis level conversation.
Yeah, before the podcast, we're joking about talking about the weather extensively. Oh, like, we just God. Went to weather territory, didn't we?
You're killing me. Yep.
We can't talk about the weather. I think all it's right. interesting, personally.
Oh my God. All right, we're going to bring it back. Bring it back. Bringing it back. So the reason, though, that Jocelyn's point, the reason this is really funny is because obviously you all remember, like, kind of when this was happening in triathlon. Like the local races were, you know what I'm saying? Were being killed off. So the trail runners, do you think the trail runners will be able to save the spirit of their sport, as they keep saying?
But don't you want to do UTMB, Kelly?
Yeah, I want to do UTMB. It looks awesome. It's like 3,000 people or 2,500 people running around a mountain. I just think that's like crazy and insane. And I want to do
okay,
that.
So I feel like the analogy with Ironman is that they were always saying there's always going to be people that want the Ironman experience that are always going to do the Ironman branded events for like the prestige. So within trail running, are there always going to be like new trail runners that are going like just for the UTMB, or does everyone have like the heart and soul of the like old school trail runner where they will boycott these events?
I'll say I don't even think a lot of people, like, you guys didn't know about this. And then like my friend who I am pacing this weekend in a local 100-miler, we were running this past weekend and she was like, oh, talking about her schedule this year. And she's like, oh yeah, UTMB just announced this new race in Whistler. And she was like talking about whether or not she like, you know what I mean? Like she was just like, oh, isn't that exciting? Had no idea. So I think there's probably a lot of people who are like, oh, it's on the calendar. I'll do it. Yeah.
Maybe it's because like I dipped my toes in like ultra stuff and trail stuff for a few years. And so I see like the protests and that kind of stuff.
They take it very, I don't know. There's also like a trail hotspot around here. And yeah, they take like the whole like soul of the sport shit, like very intensely.
Okay. I'm going to be a little devil's advocate here.
Okay.
I've watched very few, ultra trail races, but I watched a trail race probably a month ago, and half the field got lost because the trails were not well marked and it was terrible coverage. I mean, coverage is not going to change probably with UTMB stuff, but like, I would be so upset. We're talking about people who were leading the race, basically, who were off trail. No idea where they're going. I feel like, okay, upside of having big corporations like Ironman involved is you're going to have standardization. Things are going to go up a level where it's better run. Yeah. So I feel like, hey, maybe there's a potential that it's actually going to improve events because you're going to go on the right trail.
Is orienteering part of the whole?
Not a lot of it. It wasn't supposed to be. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I agree to an amount, right? Like, I don't think obviously there's a place for the like $5, 100 person races, like figure it out yourself, but like that can't be everything. Like, yeah. And like, if people want to make money in a sport, that like pros, like that can't, there have to be.
Right. Yeah. Well, I was watching the pro field and most of the top 10 at some point was off the course. Afterwards, one of my friends who did the race, he was looking at everybody's Strava files. And he's like, we all went on different trails. Nice. So, I mean, that's just so outrageous to me that
we
can't help but think that maybe some standardization will improve things a little. Yeah,
They didn't even all run the same distance.
So no.
How is that legit?
Do they get DQ'd?
No.
That's not in the spirit. See, Sarah, that's not, DQing is not in the spirit of trail running. Yeah, no.
And I guess there are some events where as long as you go like up and over the mountain, it doesn't matter how you get.
No, we have some of those here. We have a bunch of those here. Yeah.
Yeah. This was not one of those. There was an actual course on this one.
Wow.
Okay. So my friend, right, who's like my weekend running buddy, is doing her first 100 miler this weekend in one of these local, it's a big local race, right? Like a few hundred people. You know what I mean? You know, like the big local races, right? And I have somehow gotten myself signed up for the like midnight to finish 5 a.m. pacing her. And Sarah, today, to your point, she sent me a GPX file. And I was like, why do I need this? Won't there be course markings? Like, she's like, so you know where we're going. And I was like, you think I'm going to fucking orienteer at 3 a.m. in the rain? Like, I don't even know what to do.
The one thing you wanted was to not have to run at night.
What the hell? The problem was like the other pacers, people, it's that time of year, right? Like everyone, things come up, people get sick. Like, and so people bailed. And so obviously I'm not going to like bail. And so, yeah. So now I am, and it's supposed to be like 40 because it's been like 30, high 30s here. And it's supposed to be start raining. I don't even know how. Make sure you have
emergency space blanket ponchos for all the walking you're going to be doing.
That's the other thing. It's like at that point, you're not going to be warm, right? Like, you're not going to be running enough at that point to like stay warm, right? Like,
make sure like before your shift that she gets a change of clothes into something dry. Yeah, because if she's sweaty, she's going to get colder. And then she's going to turn into a zombie even faster.
This is my concern, is that we'll be out there lost in the trails, in the rain, freezing.
Do you have those little,
sound like fun.
Those hot hand things that go in your gloves? Make sure you get those.
Oh, those little squeeze things? Hot hands.
The hot hands. Make sure you have hot hands.
Headlamp?
Nice. That's all advice. My headlamp I have is so bright, it like dies after 4 hours. So I might have to, maybe I'll bring batteries.
Batteries.
Yeah. I have nothing to add other than maybe you can get a cold between now and then.
Right. I can get sick tomorrow and be like, oh no. Yeah. It's going to be something, guys. This is why when people talk about the spirit of trail running, you're like, really?
I don't know. I think it's going to be more fun than you think it is. It's going to be an adventure.
No, it's not, Sarah.
Okay, whether or not it's fun, we'll remember it. 10 years from now, 20 years.
This is what the 26-year-olds that worked for us at Conus. Core memories. We're making core memories right now, guys.
There you go. Core memories.
Core memories.
Right.
And you know what? She owes you one.
That's true. Next year, ooh, when I'm like, hey, I would like to get my UTMB stones, check who signed up. Like,
you might need that backpack that your friend had. That backpack.
With the beer?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a good point.
Can we get into who's back? No, that's for another podcast.
You guys, I don't see you're referencing things that were off air that we can't talk about because we're not a gossip podcast because we don't want to get sued for libel. All right. Do we have a random question this week that is appropriate? That's the question.
Yeah. Okay. So I've been feeling a little grumpy and what? I was wondering what everybody's like. If you have a 5-minute mood booster, like, you listen to a song or you dance to a song or like something that just without fail makes you feel a little better. What is it?
Everyone's just like staring. Like,
coffee.
Coffee. Yeah, okay.
Warm, very not hot, 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 but just before the super hot coffee. Mm.
Caffeine makes me happy. Okay. But also the process, something warm, a warm beverage in general is very soothing. Okay.
I really do candy. I do the candy like right before, you know, when you're like doing the like trying to pump yourself up in the car to like get out of the car. Yeah.
What kind of candy?
Kit Kats, M&M's, Reese's.
Oh.
I saw a definitive ranking of candy the other day just because. And Reese's were ranked number one.
The Reese's Pieces or the cups?
No.
Or the pumpkins.
Pumpkins are good. The pumpkins. Well, they used to be Easter eggs, but now you can just get them on any fucking holiday.
So. Oh my gosh. But we could rank these. We could rank these because the Christmas trees are stupid.
They are. And then the pumpkins are like better than the Christmas trees, but the eggs are
the
really
Easter
like
the eggs are the best.
Don't I they agree. All taste the same?
No. Sarah, don't be dumb.
The shape makes it taste different, Sarah.
How is that possible? The shape makes it taste different.
Because of your ratio to chocolate peanut butter.
Yeah.
Obviously. Yeah.
I'm just an engineer. I don't know if much about food, but I'm thinking.
There's got to be a calculus formula, differential equations, where you can calculate the ratio of the chocolate on the outside versus the peanut butter on the inside. Okay.
I'll let our engineer tackle this problem. All right, Jocelyn, what's yours?
It's such a mom answer, but like now that my daughter is like has a sense of humor and she's talking more, like if she's not around, then I have cute videos of her and her favorite new phrase is like, that's be funny. And she'll just start cackling. But yeah, her... Earlier this week, she thought she should be Ursula for Halloween. And then she just started laughing at her own little inside joke. And I'm like, why do you want to be Ursula? And she just laughs and goes, because that's be funny.
That's pretty adorable. Yeah.
Like when she said, let's do this. I was like, yeah. Like, rewind. I said, did she say that?
She'll randomly say the funniest things. And you're like, where did you learn this? Is it from Bluey?
Yes, probably from Bluey. Absolutely.
I love it. All right. Well, listeners, thanks for hanging in with a very random podcast. We appreciate you. Linda, who stopped me at the grocery store to tell me that she listens to the podcast. Thank you, Linda, for listening.
Aww.
Love you all. And I hope you have a wonderful week. Hopefully we'll have more triathlon content for you next week instead of very interesting bits and bobs here. My time, my time. None of you people can tell me to stop. My town, my crown. We know what it takes to be reaching the top. We're reaching the top. We're reaching the top. We know what it takes to be reaching the top.